Welcome to the Birds and the Berg Football Podcast. I am your host, Fred Halbig, and back after having off last week. Ready to talk some football, ready to catch up on some things. Joining me as always, my man Jay. What's going on, brother?
Man, 2 weeks is a long time.
It is a long time. I almost forgot we had to do this shit today. Like, oh my God, we actually have to record something.
Yeah.
And get it out there. So, also joining us today, if you hear them in the background, is my lovely wife and child working on some stuff in the basement as I record this podcast. So if you hear any child screaming or anything of that matter, my wife bitching at me, that's just them. So
that's awesome. Hey, look, I got to get something off my chest.
All right, wait, let's hear this. I have no idea what this is about. So
listen, I watched something over the weekend because I had a little bit of time.
Okay.
And it's something that really changed my life when it comes to football.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how many of you out there saw it, and according to the numbers, not many. It's a movie called Draft Day.
Oh, starring God.
Kevin Costner.
Superman's dad, Draft Day.
Okay. Yeah, his adopted father, absolutely.
All right, so spoilers? Do we have to warn the audience here?
Spoiler alerts for a movie from 2014.
Okay.
So.
Wow, that shit came out that long ago.
2014. You wouldn't know it until they said it in the movie. I had no idea until they were like, this is the 2014 NFL draft. So, first, let me tell you, if you've ever wondered what it's like to be a GM on draft day, just struggling with your decisions, don't watch this movie. Because this is basically the NFL's version, what they want you to think draft day is like for a GM.
It's like Madden for people. Dang. Worse, probably. I've never seen the movie, actually. So.
No.
I've just heard it's terrible, and I decided to never watch it. So,
just real quick, this movie is about Sonny Weaver Jr., Kevin Costner, and he's the GM of the Browns. Superman's father is the GM of the Browns. Some of our older listeners are going to think I'm talking about Marlon Brando. But from the original Superman movies, get it right. Okay. So he plays Sonny Weaver Jr. as the GM of the Browns, and it's draft day, and he has to make a big splash in order to turn the Browns around, which I think is stupid that they use an NFL team. You should have made it a fake league, whatever. Yes. But there's a love story thrown in. How about this? He's having sex with his cap expert.
Oh, okay.
It's a woman.
Never mix business and pleasure, but...
Yes, but it is a woman.
Okay, that's good at least.
And she knows more about football than any man ever will.
Wow,
there's one part in the movie where she's throwing out stats about Elway and Marino and about how they were under... And she's pregnant, too. And they have to hide it because they work together. Spoiler alert. So... basically, Sonny Weaver Jr. He fired his father too. There's so much to this movie that you have to watch it. His dad was a legendary coach for the Browns. He comes in 2 years later, fires his father, and then he is still the GM there. So basically, the owner goes to him and says, "You need to make a big splash. Browns have the number 7 pick. Seahawks have the number 1." Cut to the Seahawks talking in their war room, and the owner tells him, "You need to fleece somebody and get us something great for this number 1 pick." So they call Sonny Weaver and they trick him into giving 3 number 1s.
Okay, well, which isn't too unreasonable if you're going up for a quarterback. All right,
that's only the beginning. So, so the big draft pick is Bo Callahan, perfect prospect quarterback from Wisconsin. A golden boy. Okay. There's two other players that are introduced in this movie, a running back, which is, this is probably the greatest thing I've ever heard. They were talking about the running back on NFL Today or something like that. And they said, this guy's such a great prospect. They said he's great, but the only downside with him is he had a little skirmish, assault and battery, and the guy's still in the hospital.
Jesus.
Yeah, that seems like attempted murder to me.
Just a little skirmish.
And Superman's dad's talking to this running back on the phone, and he says, so tell me what happened with that thing. He was like, it was just a fight between some guys. He's like, the guy's still in the hospital. He's like, yeah, but I'm okay. And it's like, that's what? I don't understand that.
How are you not in jail?
I don't get it. So they also introduce a linebacking prospect who could go number 7-2. And this is played by Black Panther.
Oh, so Superman's dad and Black Panther.
Yes.
Great.
So his story is his sister died a couple months ago. He's taking care of his nephews, and he needs to go higher in the draft to make money.
Which, I mean, because, you know, top 10 isn't, you ain't making any.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he thinks if Cleveland doesn't take him at 7, he's not going to get paid. Okay. So Cleveland trades. Cleveland trades 3 number ones to get the number one overall pick. There's a head coach that comes in. He won a championship for Dallas a couple years ago, and now he's Cleveland's head coach.
So they're looking for a new quarterback, I'm presuming.
The coach doesn't want a quarterback. He likes the quarterback he has. He wants the attempted murder running back.
At number one?
Yes. No, well, at number 7.
But they traded up to number 1.
He's pissed because they traded up to number 1.
Okay.
The coach is mad because you sacrificed the future. So fast forward, drama with his girlfriend. She doesn't understand why he won't show her affection on the biggest day of his career. Whatever. Typical women.
That sounds like a woman. Oh, typical woman. I just have the draft today. But pay attention to me, damn it.
Dude, it is. It's infuriating.
Surprised my wife didn't say anything.
So a little bit later in the movie, I think it's Houston calls him. And they say, or no, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's during the draft. I apologize. So crazier stuff happens. His mom comes into the movie, and she's mad at him because he won't let her go spread his ashes on the Cleveland Browns practice field when he's trying to do the NFL draft. And she wants him to come with him to read a poem.
It had to be that day.
Insanity. Just insanity. So let's get to the draft. So the draft's happening.
The namesake of the movie. Okay.
Yes, draft day. Chris Berman does a great speech at the beginning of it. He's like, and it's draft day. It's like, oh, shut up.
Okay. I'm a Berman guy, so don't cross the line.
That annoyed me. Oh, you have to watch it just for that part. So the big thing with Bo Callahan, the golden boy quarterback, is there's nothing wrong with him. Nobody can find anything wrong with him. He's the perfect thing. So Sonny, Superman's dad, has his security guy try to find something wrong with this kid. And it turns out, can you guess what's wrong with him?
He loves drugs.
None of his teammates went to his birthday party.
No fucking way. Well, he's undraftable.
None of his
teammates. You can't draft a guy, number one, when your teammates just don't show up for your birthday party for cake and ice cream.
How crazy is that? His 21st birthday, none of his friends came to his birthday party.
Poor guy.
Do you know how they figured this out?
Spoiler.
There was a fight at the birthday party. Cops showed up, took everybody's names, and no teammates were listed on that police report.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's real clever writing there.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Great job.
So let's get to the draft. If you want, I'm skipping so much stuff.
That's fine. Let's wrap it up. We got some other stuff to go to, and you got about 15 minutes till you got to get back to work.
Please go watch this movie, everybody. Please. I'm begging you. So, draft happens. Number one pick. Cleveland's on the block. Or on the clock. What do they do?
Supposed to go quarterback.
They take the linebacker.
Oh, that's reasonable, you know, because linebacker is important in the NFL.
They took the linebacker. And the reason they took him is because he sacked that quarterback 4 times in that game they played him. Ohio State versus Wisconsin. Linebacker plays for Ohio State. Sacked him 4 times.
Oh, then it was
times.
The right move.
Yeah. The linebacker got kicked out of the game after the last sack because he strip sacked touchdown on the quarterback.
And he did three hip thrust, right?
Yes, three hip thrust, kicked out of the game. He handed the ball to his grandmother. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Gave the ball to his grandmother, was going back onto the field. The ref threw the flag, and he just tapped the ref on the shoulder. They kicked him out of the game.
Unbelievable.
And then the quarterback blew up. Yeah, he blew up the rest of the game. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. So they take the linebacker at number one. So what do? All of a sudden, that quarterback starts to drop in the draft.
Oh, shit.
And it gets to the fifth pick, and he's still not taken. Everybody's panicking. What's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with this guy?
Well, no, duh, nobody went to his fucking birthday party.
Yeah, nobody. Birthday party, it's big. So Superman's dad, smart thinking, calls Houston, who has the number six pick, and says, hey, you guys need a quarterback. Let's make this happen.
He just gave up three first-round picks.
He did, and then he gives up three second-round picks to get the number six overall pick.
I mean, have they ever watched a draft before?
Yes, that's why this happened. You always give up six picks.
And you always give up second-round picks to get a top 10.
Yeah,
pick in the NFL.
Into the top 10. Yeah, so they get the number six pick for three second round picks. But who did they just trade in front of? Seattle.
The team. Oh, yeah. Seattle went up from 7-1.
Yes, and Seattle was calling him, making fun of him, saying, "Haha, we're going to get the quarterback." So what does he do? He calls them and says, I have the number six pick. What do you want to get him now? Or I'm going to take him. And what does he do? I want all of my picks back.
Wow. Superman's dad slick.
He's smart. But the guy goes to accept and he says, no, I'm not going to do it. You have to give me your Pro Bowl kick returner also.
What an important position to throw in for a trade. Must have. I mean, I'm pretty sure kick returns are obsolete in the NFL. Although this was 2014. Whatever. I have no idea.
You're absolutely right. So what happens next? They take the running back at 7 after Seattle takes the quarterback at 6.
So they traded. I mean, they literally drafted the two most unimportant positions in the NFL in the top 10.
Yep. And they gave up 3 second round picks to move up to number 1.
And to have 2 top 10 picks.
Yep.
Was Superman's dad fired after this immediately?
No, the owner said you did such a great job with filling positions that we needed. I love you. And he shook his hand.
Wow. And then they spread his dad's ashes all over.
Yes. Can I tell you the best part? The running back? Arian Foster.
He's a bitch.
That's psycho who said he could beat up a wolf.
Yeah, he's a vegan bitch.
He was
Come at me, Arian Foster.
P. Diddy played the agent for the quarterback. My agent.
My agent. Wow.
So please, I'm begging everyone, please go watch this movie.
Yeah, I don't know what everybody else is doing right now.
Absolutely.
After you listen to this, but after I finish, I'm watching Draft Day right away. That is just sounds like an absolute thriller. I mean, Black Panther, Superman's dad's in it, Arian Foster,
P. Diddy,
shit.
Some other people, Ben Affleck's wife. That's all I know her by. I can't think of her real name. She got
pregnant. I'm pretty sure they're divorced now because he was banging other chicks.
Oh.
All right. Jay, I dig that.
It's great.
I like that. I like that so much.
I don't know.
We got to make this a thing now.
Oh, I messed up.
We got to make this a thing. I want to hear about shitty movies every week. I want to hear something because what the hell else do we have to talk about? Our show would have been about 20 minutes long if it wasn't for that. What do we got here? About 15 minutes of filler there. So Jay,
we can make something happen.
Let's try to make something happen. Shitty sports movies or any shitty movie in general. And I want to hear your take on it. I want to hear your... We got to give it a rating too. I'll think of something.
Yeah. And if anybody out there has any suggestions, please hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, email, anything.
So it can be like 5 thumbs up, but we'll make something referring to to yeah, Jay.
Give us any movie suggestions. I'll watch it. I don't care what it is.
All right. That was good. That was fun. I like that. A little off the cuff there.
I just sat down. I was
greatest movie of all time.
Yeah, I want to watch a football movie, and I found that on list of good football movies. And oof, were they wrong?
Man, that's insane. All right, so now I know we're cutting it close on time. We have a segment here we wanted to do, pertaining to the Eagles and the Steelers. Before we get into that, real quick, I know the Eagles, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson. I know a few people talked to the media this week because they've been doing their virtual online OTAs and stuff like that, blah, 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 blah. Basically, everybody said the same thing. As soon as it's safe to go back to work, everybody wants to go back to work. They think there's going to be a season. The NFL plans on having a season. There might not be fans, blah, 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 blah. Social distancing, all that BS. Don't even get me started on conspiracy theories. That'll be a whole nother episode. But basically, nobody really said anything. Except Doug Peterson did say Andre Dillard will be the left tackle, but I'll believe it when it's week one and he is starting. But other than that, Jay, do you have anything before we get into our little segment here?
Yeah, one quick thing. The biggest thing coming out of Steelers right now was Ben Roethlisberger started throwing. He was throwing with some of his receivers, and James Conner was there too. He finally cut his hair and his beard, which I know a lot of people love. Yeah,
and he pissed
love.
Off our governor.
Oh, yeah. God.
What a bitch. Governor Wolf can eat a dick. I hope you listen to this.
But it was good to see. He was throwing hard passes. He was out there moving around a lot. So he looked good. So that's very uplifting and reassuring. So.
All right. Well, with the talk of that, then we'll jump right in. I don't really have a name for this segment. We're just going to go over a few categories here, and we're going to pick some players that we think will fit into that. We have a list of most overrated, most underrated, the best player, the key new addition, a player that could surprise you this year, someone who takes a big leap this year, and then a prove it year for a guy. So, you know, we're just going to go down through. I'll let Jay go first with most overrated, and then I'll go into my we'll go one by one, and then we'll go down through each one. So, Jay, Pittsburgh Steelers' most overrated player for the 2020 season.
Okay. This might be a little bit of a shocker to people considering the year he had last year, but I got to say Bud Dupree.
Okay.
Not because he can't potentially duplicate what he did last year, but $15.8 million for a guy who had one great year. That's outrageous to me, and that counts as overrated. And then also, 5 years. Do you know how many sacks he had? He had 11 and a half last year. In 5 years, can you tell me how many sacks he had?
16?
31 and a half.
Well, I was way off. I don't know.
Yeah, in 5 years.
That's not. He had
a third of that in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So I really think that counts him as overrated. He could potentially do it again next year. I think he benefited a lot from TJ expanding his game a little bit, and that defense becoming monstrous last year. So I got to go Bud with overrated.
All right. My 2020 Philadelphia Eagles most overrated player. It hurts me to say this because I kind of like this guy, but I'm going to go with Avante Maddox. Here's a guy that they projected to be a starter in the slot last year that never really worked out, although that was more due to injury. He suffered a serious neck injury but came back from that. But, you know, he's projected to take over on the opposite of Darius Slay this year. And anytime he's been on the outside, he has been average to below average at best. But he's always hyped up. You know, the media is always talking about how good of a player he is. And the fans talk about how good of a player he is. But I think he's a little overrated. I honestly don't know if he is going to start on the outside. I think there's going to be some competition. And they brought Nicole Roby Coleman to come in to play the slot. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with Avante Maddox this year.
Yeah. You talked about him coming into the year too, as a guy who could potentially be good for you guys.
Like his rookie year, he was really good. I can't lie. And then I know last year he was injured, but he's not shown to play well on the outside. And he's projected to start on the outside this year. So, yeah. All right. So most overrated, then we'll move on to most underrated player.
All right, for underrated, I have Steven Nelson, cornerback. Last year was his first year with the team, but he came in and made an immediate impact in this defense. He really boosted it with Joe Hayden on the opposite side. He had a coverage grade of 80.3, which is great, and completion rate of 51.5, which was 11th in the league, while allowing a 73.3 passer rating, which was tied for 18th. Doesn't allow a lot of completions, doesn't allow a lot of yardage. I think he's very underrated on a defense that was spectacular last year. He got overlooked by a lot of guys. So I guess Steven Nelson is underrated.
All right. My most underrated player for the Eagles this year, I don't know if a lot of people agree with this because he's an extremely talented player. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL when healthy, but I just feel like a lot of people have forgot about him because of the injury he had last year, and that's DeSean Jackson. When that guy's on the field, the Philadelphia Eagles offense was completely different last year, albeit it was only one game, but you saw what he did. He had like 5 catches for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, he completely opens things up for that offense. Like I said, he only played one game last year fully. And you hear about, I mean, I know he's getting older, but the speed's still there. One of the best deep ball players in NFL history. You just don't hear people mention his name when they're talking about the receivers. And I think he's going to come back healthy. I think he has a lot to prove. And I think he's just being a little underrated right now for what he can do for that offense this coming season. So,
okay.
All right, we'll move on. The next one I got is the best player on the team for 2020.
All right. Me and you might be going same position here. I don't know. I'm trying to think what you were. But mine, it was there was two positions here, two players I was thinking here. But honestly, I have to go with Ben. Okay. Ben Roethlisberger. Look at last
year. Who was your other player you were thinking?
TJ.
Okay.
TJ Watt.
Well, you could do a best player offense defense if that's what you want to do. You don't have to go over both of them. But I can have the same thing.
Yeah, but the reason I want Ben there is look at last year. This team finished 8-8 with this great defense, but without Ben, that offense did nothing. And I know you can say, oh, they just didn't have a competent quarterback. When Ben's in there, he changes that offense with the things he does, keeping it alive in the pocket with some of the throws he can make. I just think Ben right now is the best player on that team.
All right. And then, of course, TJ, what he did.
Yeah. And look, you say TJ Watt, and everybody knows he's a difference maker. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Best player for the Eagles. Yeah, no surprise. That's Carson Wentz. If this team is going to go anywhere in the playoffs or a Super Bowl or do anything big this year, it is 100% around. No. Carson Wentz. You know, he's a guy that shown flashes at the end of last year of what he can get done without the most talent. They went out and they added some talent this year. Like I said, DeSean Jackson will be coming back. So, yeah, best player. If he's the best player on that offense, things, you know, they'll have a good season. They'll more than likely be in the playoffs. And like you said on the defense, Fletcher Cox, he's a guy that kind of had a down year last year. He was coming off of an ankle surgery. It really took him till towards the end of the year to really get right. He's got to be more dominant this year, but he's the best player on that defense. And with the key additions they made, which I'll probably talk about next, I think he's going to be the best player on that defense. He's going to return to that dominant form from a couple years ago. So, yeah, like I just mentioned, the best – not the best – the key new addition for the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2020.
I don't think this is a shocker, Eric Ebron. He shores up a position that they cannot stay healthy at for the past couple years, really since Heath left, Heath Miller. I think he just adds a big weapon to a position that was needy. So I get Eric Ebron, biggest addition.
All right. Key new addition, I think I had two players here. Javon Hargrave, I wanted to mention just because I think that's going to help Fletcher Cox out a lot of what I've talked about. Sorry. I know Steelers fans. It'll be fun to see him in green. But I think the biggest new addition for the Eagles this year is Darius Slay. The cornerback position has been a huge problem for the Eagles the past few years. They have consistently been one in the bottom third or fourth of the league in most passing defensive categories. So I think Darius Slay is going to come in here. Here's a guy who you can put on a number one target and say, go cover that guy. And, you know, 8 times out of 10, he's going to do his job. He might give up a play every once in a while, but he's one of the best in the league to do it. So I think his addition at the in the secondary is going to be a big thing for this team. Okay. All right. Next category. I know we got to try to wrap it up here soon. Is a player that you could surprise you this year.
Okay. For this, I got Terrell Edmonds, safety. He's going into his third year, man, but I think he's going to be a little bit more comfortable in the system now that he has a competent starter with him. No shots against Sean Davis, but he couldn't stay healthy, and he just wasn't that good. So I think having Minka next to him is really going to assure that he's able to do what he needs to do. And there's also talk they're going to move him down to the box more, let him play that hybrid type position. And I think he's really – I could see him taking a big surprise this year. I don't want to say what the next one is.
All right. My big surprise shouldn't be a surprise, I guess, but that's first-round pick Jalen Reagor. I think a lot of people have kind of can written this guy off already, you know, coming in as a first-round receiver. They got a big-time, big playbook to learn. There's not any offseason to do it. But I think this is a guy that's just so raw athletically and has so much speed that Doug Peterson will be able to work him into the offense. And even if it's just some gadget plays here and there, and I think he's going to be good for a few bombs down the field this year just because of his speed and stuff like that. So I think that's a guy that could come out as a rookie and really surprise you this year when a lot of fans right now are kind of down on him and don't seem too enthusiastic or, you know, about him coming in. But I think he could surprise this year.
Okay, I thought you were going to go with a different Jalen there.
Jalen Mills? Or no, Jalen Hurts. Oh, I can't even remember. Nah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know what to think of that yet, but
yeah, he can win you some games.
About a player on the team this year that's going to take a leap from the previous years.
All right. I think this is going to be Matt Filer. He started some games last year, looked really good. He rated as a Steelers best lineman last year. But I think this year he's going to take that step forward and get into the next level of linemen and really shore up that line who struggled a little bit last year and has some age to it too. So I think he comes in as a young guy and really takes that big step forward.
All right. My prove it or takes a leap year. Could this, you know, people probably won't believe me when I say this, but I think it could be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Now, oof, it won't even take a lot for him to take a leap this year because this guy literally couldn't have been any worse as a rookie wide receiver last year. I'm pretty sure he finished with like 180 yards receiving over the entire year. But he's shown flashes in the preseason. You know, he was productive in college. I know that doesn't always translate. He doesn't have the speed. But he was a big-time, go-up-and-get-it playmaker-type receiver. And he's shown some flashes of that. He just needs – I just think he needed better coaching, which I think they got this year. I think he just needs to really work on his craft. I think he's going to come back. I think he's heard everything. You know, I hope so. You never know. Yeah. But I think he's going to – he heard all that. He's going to come back. He's going to work his ass off. He just seems like somebody that's going to work hard. And I think he could do it, you know. I mean, with I'm pretty sure Alshon's going to be out for a while, and he's going to have a chance to play. So I'm going to go with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside takes a leap this year, even if that leap is like 400 to 500 receiving yards. Which ain't great, but you never know. I kind of see him taking that leap like James Washington did for the Steelers.
Yeah, well,
season.
Yeah, he had 700 last year, so that'll be a big jump.
Yeah, after he was a big disappointment his rookie year too.
Yeah, yeah, he was also had some injuries to deal with too. But like you said, with Alshon being out, yeah. So
Howie in one of his press conferences said JJ was dealing with a lower body injury. I don't ever like to make excuses, so I didn't bring that up. We'll see if he can prove it this year. Yeah. Speaking of prove it this year, last topic on here is somebody who's in a prove it year for the Steelers.
I think you could have went two different ways here, but I think this guy is ahead of the other guy. James Conner. I think he has to show that he can stay healthy this year. When Conner's on the field, he's an explosive running back who's
he's in a contract season, right?
He's also in a contract year.
Him and Juju. Was Juju your other guy?
Juju was the other guy, too. But look, Juju was hurt last year, and he still had 500 yards receiving, playing, I think, like eight games.
With really shitty quarterbacks.
Yeah, with really bad quarterbacks. So I think Juju still has a little bit to prove, but I think James Conner, he has less of a – there's a lot of free agents next year with little bit of cap room. Conner really needs to show that this team needs to bring him back. So he needs to stay healthy, stay on the field. Like I said, when he's on the field, he is He's explosive. He can do a lot of things for this team that nobody expected him to be able to do. So I think Connor really needs to prove it this year.
All right, my prove it guy for the 2020 Philadelphia Eagles is also in a contract year, and that is defensive end Derek Barnett. This is a former top 15 draft pick who has just really not performed up to that draft position, I think, so far in his career. They picked up his fifth-year option. He's playing on that fifth-year option this season, so he's making, what, somewhere around $10 million, I believe, or something like that.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, he has a lot to prove. You know, he's a consistently been a 5-6 sack season guy, but, you know, it needs to be more than that. He needs to go out and get double-digit sacks. He needs to stay healthy. He needs to prove why they took him that high in the draft pick and why he'll be worth a contract next year, because the Eagles are really thin at defensive end. Brandon Graham is getting old. He's probably playing his last year in Philly. They have Josh Sweat, another young guy, but he's more of a rotational guy. And really, other than that, they don't have anybody. So, you know, it's a huge year for him to prove that he can come back on another contract and be their best pass rusher going into the future.
Okay.
All right, I think we did it.
I think we did.
We'll let you go. Everybody knows where to find us. We're kind of short on time tonight.
Yeah, sorry about that. I went a little bit longer on my movie review. So excited about that.
Yeah, Jay's got to go back to work. But we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going every other week unless something big crazy happens.
Yes.
Where they announce that, you know, they're going back to mini camps, this or that, then we'll be back. But other than that, we'll catch you in 2 weeks. Jay, anything else?
No, sir.
All right. That was the Birds in the Berg football podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.